Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 26th day of March 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and today we have to start off with a bit of pay no attention to that man behind the curtain news from Baltimore, Maryland, where a large tanker ship has collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which then spectacularly collapsed, closing one of the major ports in the entire Northeast, as well as Interstate 695, known as the Baltimore Beltway, trapping hundreds of trucks and vehicles on opposite sides of a bay and disrupting some of the most critical infrastructure in the once-free United States. And although the collision happened in the wee hours of the morning, a number of highway workers, truck drivers, and automobiles are missing. And what an amazing, almost unbelievable coincidence that it happened within days of some of the other biggest escalations in World War III that are at least being spun as somewhat ambiguous. You may recognize the namesake of the bridge, Francis Scott Key, as the author of the Star-Spangled Banner, who witnessed the British bombardment of Fort McHenry in 1814 during the War of 1812. The bridge spans Baltimore Harbor and a number of shipping channels and was a vital connection for communities and transportation of goods and people across various waterways. On average, it handled traffic of 31,500 vehicles daily. And as a result of this catastrophe, the port of Baltimore is now closed with no ships in or out. In 2023, says Hal Turner's radio show, the port ranked first in the nation for handling of automobiles, light trucks, farm and construction machinery, as well as importation of things like sugar and gypsum, and was the second largest in the country for exporting of coal. Obviously, this was an incredibly important roadway and bridge and will adversely affect commerce from the swamp all the way to New York City and Boston. As you might expect, folks, and matter of fact, you'd have to be pretty much blind not to suspect it, the internet is now ablaze with concerns or conspiracy theories, if you will, that the ship might very well have been cyber attacked, because about a minute before the collision, all the lights on the vessel go out, then come back on, whereupon suddenly the ship veers sharply to its right towards the bridge support pilings, whereupon the lights on the vessel go out again, and when they return, the ship apparently tries to steer sharply left, but the impact takes place regardless. And as if to basically confirm the worst of the conspiracy theories, the White Whorehouse has said that, no, trust us. Has the diaper-wearing senile guy ever lied to you? Well, when he wasn't walking into a bridge himself, it wasn't terrorism, and the White House said there's no indication that it could possibly have been intentional. No nefarious intent here, in other words. From the people who make nefarious intent, kind of a standard operating procedure, it would seem. The Daily Mail tells us that the ship involved in the collision is the 948-foot-long Dali, a Singaporean-flagged cargo container vessel, but chartered by Maersk. Says Hal Turner, since the port of Baltimore is the largest port in the United States for specialized cargo, things like wheeled cargo, trucks, trailers, bulk handling facilities, and, you know, also things like roll-on, roll-off vehicles for tanks, tracked vehicles, and etc., and therefore might just be the number one port in the United States to take out if there was an anticipated escalation of the war in Europe. One aspect of the incident, which he notes makes it very suspicious, is the rule which requires, quote, each ship engaged in foreign trade coming to Maryland ports. And note the stories, one of the two masters on board, according to BalticShipping.com, was Ukrainian, is required to take on a local ship handling specialist known as the pilot to navigate the vessel safely in and out of port. Matt Bracken on X adds more detail to the fact that this was a major infrastructure hit. Obviously, the port of Baltimore serves Baltimore and Washington, D.C. All shipping north of the bridge is now trapped in place. No others can get in. But the main alternative is a tunnel which has height and hazardous cargo restrictions and cannot take the heavy trucking traffic that used the Francis Scott Key Bridge as a result. And he notes that that bridge took literally years to build, all the way back in the 1970s. Arguably, folks, when America was still an industrial power. And finally, folks, if there's any other information that might indicate the scale of the disaster that America now faces here, understand that reports say U.S. Secretary of Transportation, the airhead whose only qualification for transportation is that he once rode in a car, Pete Buttigieg, said on social media he was in contact with the mayor of Baltimore and the governor of Maryland, and they stand ready to provide federal help. Let's turn next to the economic meltdown already in progress before the latest whammy. And arguably there's a famine on tap, too, given the supply chain destruction. Says Zero Hedge, cocoa futures and hyperinflation has struck before the so-called Easter holiday weekend, Cocoa futures soared to new highs on Tuesday as the ever-worsening supply crunch forced chocolate makers to hunt for beans. New York futures jumped as high as just over $10,000 per ton, over 4% higher on the session, and that's the fifth straight day of gains and about 150% surge since just the start of this year. Now that cocoa prices have surged to over $10,000 a ton, that's up from $2,500 a ton, a fourfold increase just about a year ago, and $650 a ton a decade ago. And to put things in perspective, notes Tyler Durden, the previous record high, which fell only in February and was unbroken for 46 years prior to that, was $5,500.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
Zero Hedge is also reporting that the Dallas Fed is screaming stagflation. The Dallas Fed Manufacturing Survey is out, and against expectations that there just might be a small improvement from a very negative 11.3 up to a negative 10.0, the headline sentiment, in fact, went the other direction, dropping to a minus 14.4 at the low end of analyst expectations. And furthermore, the production index, a key measure of state manufacturing conditions, fell 5 points to a negative 4.1, suggesting a decline in output month over month. Likewise, capacity utilization fell, and the shipments index, too, plunged from a barely positive 0.1 to a negative 15.4, while manufacturing material costs rose to 13-month highs, which, as the summary notes, has the stench of stagflation lathered all over it, and it's not a pretty picture at all under the hood, but I suspect you get the idea without having to look at the charts. And furthermore, notes the survey, energy, the election, or lack thereof, and the uncertainty surrounding interest rates, will they destroy the economy with higher rates or allow hyperinflation to do it, certainly makes business planning difficult. Well, folks, that's the point of a command economy. Peter Bachvar via King World News makes the same point. He has a lot more charge, but basically it boils down to, as he puts it, an inflation wave is hitting that will terrify already shattered consumers, especially folks when it comes to things that they really don't necessarily need. After all, Big Brother wants them to eat worms, and that has to do with food costs. But when it comes to other things Big Brother's got planned that you really still need to be paying attention to, we've talked about this quite a bit of late, and I'm sure we'll have more as the developments unfold. But this comes from Reuters, warning us that SWIFT, that's the U.S. fiat dollar platform for international financial transfers, is planning their launch of a new central bank digital currency platform sometime in the next 12 months, or maybe, if they give you a little bit more breathing room, maybe you'll have 2 years. The move, says the piece, which would be one of the most significant yet for the nascent central bank digital currency ecosystem, given the current, at least, key role the SWIFT plays in the international globalist bankster community, is likely to be fine-tuned when other major marks are launched into the once-free markets as well. About 90%, says the piece, of the world's central banksters are now exploring digital versions of their currencies and making the move towards the mark. Most don't want to be left behind by Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, but they're still grappling with technological complexities and the fact that a lot of people, your host at least suggests, hopefully, are tuned in to what they have planned. Here's an item that would be funny, courtesy of the Daily Mail in the UK, if it wasn't so transparently, well, nefarious. There is alarm, says the headline, over the mystery cancer epidemic, and they put it in quotes, that's striking under 50s. People like the Royal Kate Middleton, as scientists it says, and I gotta put sick after that, don't we, are scrambling to find a cause. What could it be of the startling, unbelievable increase? Oh, yeah, and you know it, don't you? Don't you even dare to suggest what you're not allowed to say out loud. Supreme Court's getting ready to confirm that, too, is verboten. Scientists are scrambling, it says, to find the cause of that mystery cancer epidemic striking under age 50s. Kate Middleton's recent shock diagnosis has shown a light on the startling trend, with top doctors, yeah, guess who they serve, claiming it's a worldwide problem, even though the chart that the Daily Mail puts in here just a bit further down the piece seems to make, a whole different point. Despite years, it says, of research, you can guess about how many, folks, scientists are baffled as to what's going on here. But in the wake of the news from the Princess of Wales, one surgeon claimed a yet-to-be-discovered factor. What could it be? What could it be? Might be to blame. Professor Andrew Beggs, consultant colorectal surgeon and senior clinical fellow at the University of Birmingham, who can't afford to be losing that position, don't you know, said, quote, there might be an unknown environmental factor that we haven't discovered, like people getting poked or something. Oh, no, you're not allowed to say that. And you know you probably can't even say 5G either. Despite, he said, extensive research. And if you do a search in the piece for the word vaccine, you find, no surprise here, that it shows up once and only once, dismissively even. You find the only reference is one poor professor saying, it's got nothing to do with COVID or vaccines. Oh, no, this has been going on. It happened long before.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Because you're not going to be allowed to, and they don't dare speak the words. What you will see, though, on that chart that shows global cancer rates per 100,000 people in the under 50 age group is that America and certain other, let's just say, Western European nations are way up at the top of the list. But amazingly, or maybe not if you understand what was done down under, Australia and New Zealand, with their mandatory poison pokes, are literally off the chart. No, nothing to see here. And get this, way down in the piece they say, celebrities too have also been caught in the rising pattern of increasing cancer rates among the young. Black Panther actor Chadwick Boseman was killed by colon cancer before the age of 50, early onset they call it. Others are being treated, including Olivia Munn at age 43, revealed she had breast cancer. Sofia Vergara, Star Wars actor Ian McGregor, and singer Kylie Minogue were all diagnosed with cancer before they turned 50. What do you bet the Hollywood elite has one other thing in common that you're just not going to hear in this piece. Color me skeptical, folks, and color everybody else who's been paying attention forewarned. Well, maybe it's a bit after the fact, but don't worry, there's another one coming, and we all know it. You destroy people's immune system, cancers proliferate. What a surprise. Here's a piece next, courtesy of Peter Hoekstra and the Gatestone Institute, that bears a bit of deeper examination today. An amazing coincidence that comes out right at the same time that so many other mysterious attacks, or are they just oh-so-unbelievable coincidences on the infrastructure, are destroying what's left of an already pre-destroyed supply chain. The title puts it this way, what China calls unrestricted warfare. Is it here already? Some of the West, at least, has correctly identified the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, as the malign threat that most of us have known for a while now that it is. And now we have a responsibility to put into place some measures and deterrence, especially if it's already too late, folks, to prevent it from attacking us through cyberspace or across the non-existent southern border or any other way. Let's not wait, he suggests, until we experience a 9/11-scale cyber attack that could be, and is intended to be, I can't help but add, far more damaging to the U.S. than what took place on that deep state dark day over 20 years ago that brought you the Patriot Act, among other things. And how obvious is it? Well, even FBI director and scumbag traitor Christopher Wray has been consistent on this one. The threat from communist China is across a wide range of fronts, even though they ignore those that are coming across the wide-open southern border. On July 6th of 2022, Wray and his MI5 counterpart, Director General Ken McCallum, held a joint public appearance, the first ever, to discuss the growing security challenge of China. Even then, they had to admit the matter was urgent. And isn't it amazing, folks, even though Ray ignored trivial things like the Bang Bang with Fang Fang and other Chinese infiltration, highlighting Communist China's civil-military public-private partnership, they called it the Fusion State, where they noted that the CCP is intent on acquiring and stealing technology and business secrets from the West. They've been doing it openly since the first Clinton regime. And, of course, Chinese President Xi Jinping has made it clear he intends for China to not only catch up, but surpass the West. And China-linked hackers already appear to be looking to attack U.S. infrastructure, including key components like the electrical grid, water reservoirs, treatment plants, pipelines, transportation, and communication systems, among other targets. The goal is to seemingly disrupt everything critical to life in the U.S. If you have no electricity, your cell phone won't work, water won't come out of the tap, gas pumps won't pump, flights and trains will stop, and disease from disabled sewage treatment plants will spread like, well, wildfire. With havoc and panic and a government and military that already don't protect the nation, but then they'll be able to claim they can't. All of which is what China means, says the author, by unrestricted warfare. Not a bullet fired. They didn't have to. And according to Sun Tzu and his ancient work, The Art of War, it's just perfect. Now, at this point, I have to indicate that while there's some valuable information in here, I can't help but think that the author has been drinking a bit of the deep state Kool-Aid, because he doesn't seem to be able to discern the difference between agencies that are on the wrong team or that have been compromised and those that just might, or at least pretend to be doing, God's work. I put it more bluntly, for crying out loud, who do you trust here? For example, Jen Easterly, he says, director of the Cybersecurity und Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, testified, and that's my term, before the House Select Committee on Strategic Competition between the U.S. and the CCP about the threats posed by China and said they're not imaginary, they're real. Well, 80-20 rule applies, obviously. Her agency has already discovered CCP penetrations, gee, do you think? How amazing, into the telecom industry, aviation, energy, and water infrastructure. Folks, the aviation penetration goes back a long time and way before CISA even existed. As the threat from communist China continues to grow, says the author, the global security environment requires the U.S. and our allies to act now, yeah, even though it might be too late, to harden our infrastructure and systems to mitigate the threat. The problem, and this at least is correct, is one of supreme urgency because no one knows who will win the U.S. Come on. We all know who will win. What we don't know is whether or not it will be allowed. But here's what he says, and it's worth thinking about. If I was the head of the CCP, I'd be saying to myself, if I'm stuck with a weak economy here in China, more than a billion people who won't be happy with that, and just 7 months more with an American president who calls me a competitor, even though he seems to be our puppet, but he's kind of flaky, if you know what I mean. Well, what are my choices? Would I use this opportunity, which would soon be closing, to choke off Taiwan and take over the world supply of semiconductor chips? If the U.S. tries to stop us, we could certainly threaten them, and since we've already got about 7 divisions worth of military-age fighting men already in place, as General Flynn has pointed out correctly, we could certainly cause lots of mayhem and destruction in the United States. But there's another choice. Instead of going for Taiwan, why not just go straight for the U.S. while it's bogged down in the Ukraine, Middle East, and rigging an election? And besides which, are we ever going to have a better opportunity to bring our troops in unopposed? Or C, I guess, we could wait and see whether or not the rigging is successful, or whether Trump's win is so overwhelming that we can't stop it, in which case we've still got a couple of months to do something before the inauguration. So, continues the author, even with the caveat your host notes that it may already be too late, well, what steps should be taken? Better late than never. First, he says, and this makes sense, stop all investments in China and reroute essentials, such as the manufacture of things like medicines, to other nations. Oh, I know. How about do them here? But wait a minute, that'll never happen with the Biden Führer in place. Except, obviously, for poisons. Any investment, says the author, even in paper cocktail umbrellas, goes towards strengthening the People's Liberation Army against us. We can still, though, hear the screeching of Wall Street. No, not yet. But the threat should be viewed in terms of national security, he says, because no one will ring a bell when the lights go out or the bridges come down, folks. The U.S. will also need to impose secondary sanctions so that any country preferring to do business with China is prohibited from doing business with the United States, which, well, if we don't do that pretty quickly, that probably won't be much of a barrier anyway. Because smart countries are already doing that. Ask BRICS. Let's not forget, too, he notes, China poisons to death about 100,000 or so Americans each year with fentanyl and other opiates, which is far, far less than what Moderna and Pfizer are accomplishing, but still, it's an important point. He notes that they should be barred from using SWIFT. And I can't help but think, yeah, too late for that one. Second, he says, companies and universities need to get serious about their security systems to make the theft of intellectual property more difficult to perpetrate, but easier to detect. That would be a lot easier if they weren't already literally run by communist China. Says Hoekstra, we can't allow our enemies to short-circuit the difficult and expensive process of technological innovation by simply walking out the door with the plans again. Yeah, now that the horse has left the barn. And that precaution, he notes, should also include a moratorium, at least for now, on students from communist China attending U.S. universities. Oh, yeah, they'll be screeching from the left, because who better to support them? But, he says, are we really interested in educating our competitors to take over or kill us? And on that point, I can't help but note a certain irony. Because, really, are we talking education or caustic dumbing down, in which case China's welcome to it? It's mostly United States kids that are being dumbed down by the idiotic pablum that really qualifies as negative education because it's so wrong, inflicted on their skulls full of mush by the far-left indoctrination system, while primarily the threat is communist Chinese students attending engineering schools. Third, he says the U.S. needs to cooperate with its allies to protect the intellectual property and technological advances of our own countries. Yeah. Number four, companies should notify Big Brother if their systems have been attacked or compromised by outside entities. All I can do there is just shake my head. How many backdoors does it take on that score? And are they theirs or ours? Or are they just ours that they happen to have the keys to? We're not sure. There's a big part of the problem. And finally, this ought to be almost a thigh slapper. There needs to be a coordinated strategy between national, state, and local governments on the CCP threat. And listen to this paragraph and try not to weep. I'll try to read it intact. Primary examples, he said, where this system has failed, like the production of EV batteries in the U.S. by CCP firms. Okay, let's continue. The CCP buying up American farmland, especially near military bases, and the government's failure to hold the CCP to account for its lies about human-to-human transmissibility of COVID, which caused the unnecessary deaths of more than a million Americans. Full stop. Was Fauci pulling their chains, or were they pulling his? Or does it really matter? Because treason is treason. And that's part of the reason I'm spending the time on this, folks. Yes, communist China is culpable, but there has been so much infiltration for so long that it's really difficult to know if there's anything left of truly American institutions, much less Americans in those institutions that aren't open but unindicted, much less unconvicted, traitors. And that goes for so-called law enforcement, like the FBI, CIA, NSA, and pick three letters, and the so-called court system. And listen to this paragraph and ponder the, stupidity on so many levels. While Big Brother, he says the federal government, has warned that, quote, Chinese EVs could collect your data and send it back to China, state and local governments, sick, are welcoming Chinese EV battery manufacturing plants into their communities. And Big Brother, of course, is not only subsidizing them, but trying to force people to buy this crap, frequently using massive government subsidies and, of course, other methods of coercion. Says Hoekstra, this lack of coordination is a serious vulnerability in our national security posture. So, folks, is the stupidity that makes it possible in the first place. Like the carbon dioxide climate crisis that's nothing more than actual whore science, which, by the way, China doesn't participate in anyway, except to profit from, and uses a weapon against those stupid enough to fall for it. I won't read you his conclusion because, admittedly, if it's not obvious by now, they're more than a bit Pollyanna-ish. But he says, in part, FBI Director Wray has reemphasized the growing threat. Yeah, sure. The evidence is clear, and at least this is correct, and the time has come for elected leaders, public servants at all levels of government to respond in a coordinated fashion to this threat. Because the West has now correctly identified the CCP as the malign threat that it is. Now we have a responsibility to put in place measures and deterrence to prevent it from attacking us through cyberspace or in any other way. And let me say it again, full stop. The reason why I did this story and the reason why I'm pointing it out is because, arguably, what with seven divisions of communist Chinese military-aged males already in place, with complete ownership of the Congress, the White Whorehouse, and so many elements of that very bureaucracy that he's now saying we must trust to put an end to it, your host has to say flatly, come on, it's a bit too late for that. So let's wrap up with a quick thought experiment. Even if, by some miracle, the election rigging fails, people see through the crap that they've been fed for at least 4 years or more now, and they say, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore, and Trump wins in a landslide so overwhelming that they can't even rig it. And suppose, just for purposes of argument, that this time he's actually learned from his mistakes. He doesn't put in place any more Bill Barrs or Chris Rays. And actually, it really does intend to drain the swamp and cut off the Communist Chinese Party connections, too. They pulled the plug. And we've already talked about it. This piece makes it clear. The tools are already in place to do it. So then what? Presume further that if he's really sincere, Trump actually knows all of this and is trying to play 4D chess and get ahead of the game. What does he do? How can he stop it? Because he won't even be in office until, arguably, it's too late. Well, here, folks, the mind boggles, and I can't help but think there have been things called stay-behind governments. Obama put them in place to undermine Trump before he was even allowed to step into the Oval Office. Did Trump do anything remotely similar? Well, that's what the Q folks would have you believe. I'm not quite so sanguine. Sure as hell didn't happen when it could have and should have 3 years ago. If it happens this time around, great, fine, we'll all be pleasantly surprised, maybe even shocked. But I will suggest there is something we can and should be doing. Of course, it's a shofar I've blown for many years now. Come out of her. Do not be vulnerable to the kinds of things that you can already see are in place, whether it's communist Chinese troop infiltration or cybersecurity attacks. Get yourself separated from the grid, where when it goes down, you won't be taken along with it. Likewise, the communication infrastructure. Don't be dependent on it. And don't leave yourself vulnerable to an AI uprising either. It may be too late on a lot of fronts, but it's certainly not too late to be aware of what is almost certainly coming, one way or another. Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.